Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest with you. We have Marcus Ogden. Now, 5 years ago, Marcus Ogden was an NFL athlete, and he found himself starting over, losing everything he had, including his eight-figure business empire in less than 90 days. As he began rebranding himself, he developed a roadmap to victory, which he calls the success cycle. Now, in his book, he introduces readers about a three-part process to success. Now, Marcus, I just wanted to take a little bit of time, like I do in every episode, just to say, again, a big thanks for being with me here today.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's jump right into the first question. I love this first question because you get to expand on that little statement that I had said. You know, you have a cool history as, you know, an NFL athlete, and you're also a super successful business person. And you have a book that that just before this you were saying is already in Barnes & Noble, which is absolutely huge. So let's jump into it. The first question I have for you is kind of explain a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
My name is Marcus Ogden. I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm a former NFL athlete, played for about six seasons. After I got out of the NFL, I started a construction company when I was 27 and a half years old. Before the age of 30, I grew it to an eight-figure year construction empire annual business. But unfortunately, as the company grew, so did my ego, so did my bravado. You couldn't tell me anything. I ended up going bankrupt in that business in 2013. I had to file a Chapter 7 complete restart bankruptcy because I did not allow healthy inclusion in my business. And I thought I knew everything. I became a horrible boss instead of an effective servant leader. And I believe that why I think it's so important being a social impactor is giving people in society, the social individuals who want to gain knowledge so they can have success, but more importantly, they can learn not what to do in their journeys as business people, as professionals, just as people in general, helping them with my experiences so they can learn from my mistakes, so they can succeed where I failed.
And now I don't want to dwell on, you know, past challenges, but you said you filed for a complete bankruptcy, like a complete rewrite. What was that like to go through, you know, having your ego shattered, which sometimes is a good thing, and then restarting and seeing where you are now? What was that process like?
It was extremely difficult because I met my wife a few months before I had to go through the bankruptcy. And like you said a moment ago, it was extremely embarrassing. My ego was shattered. But like you also said, it was a good thing because after my bankruptcy, I had to restart. I lost everything. Home foreclosed on, cars repossessed, everything wiped out, gone, taken from me. No money, nothing. And I had to take a job. I had a job at Merrill Lynch. Didn't work out very well. All my fault. I got fired. Got a job the next day to a construction company. Got fired 5 days later. So fired two times in a week. And when I became a custodian working the graveyard shift for $8.25 an hour, I had a pivotal moment where somebody's trash got on my bare skin. And that was my wake-up call. And that's what got me restarted, rebranded, re-energized, and recharged for that matter to go forward to who I am today. So the bankruptcy was extremely difficult, arduous, and embarrassing to every level to go through at the time. But without that process, without those experiences, I would not be who I am today, because people who are struggling, I know exactly what you're going through.
So you would kind of say that those two moments, the bankruptcy and then also that graveyard shift and getting, you know, someone's garbage on your bare hands, those were two kind of catalyst moments for you.
Absolutely, because like you said a moment ago, if you don't, sometimes in life, we need to have our ego shattered for us to realize that life driven by just living an egotistical existence will not get you very far. So both of those experiences did a fantastic job, even though they hurt at the time, they woke me up to who I am today.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those moments too, and they are hard, but you're exactly right that the end result is that, well, one, you're a better person because of it, and two, it gives you the insight and kind of that idea that the world does not necessarily revolve around you, but you have an impact on creating that world, you know?
That is correct. I mean, yeah. Again, nothing revolves around you. You have to be able to fit and blend into society. You can't think everything's all about you.
Yeah. So let me ask you the next question. I mean, you've talked about a little bit about who you are, you know, your background, what you're doing now. I want to get into the book in a second because I think it's an awesome idea. But how are you then, with everything you're doing now, making a positive impact in your community?
I'm really taking my time to work with people who have a driven desire to succeed. You know, there's a good percentage of our society who wants to succeed, but they may not know how. They may lack the experience, the education, the life knowledge, whatever the case may be. So I really enjoy helping others succeed that have a hunger and a drive to be successful that might be lacking some things to help them. I love trying to do my best to give them those nuggets, those informational things that they might be missing to help them achieve what they want in life.
So let me ask the question about the book now. So everything you've been doing, obviously you've been building a social impact before this book was released, but why the book? What did the book do that helped you kind of build on it? Was it an amplification? Was it, building knowledge? Why the book?
The book is really an amplification of what I've done every time in my life I've achieved success, from football to construction to now speaking internationally, coaching people, and consulting. It talks about three major facets: ambition, drive, and hard work. Ambition is all about creating goals for yourself, creating your roadmap to success. Drive is about having that inner force to push forward when others are telling you you're making a mistake or you hear the avalanche theory, everyone telling you that you're not going to make it. So you have to be inspired, not motivated, to really be driven. And then it's all about hard work. Focus on you, not the competition. So these three things, every time in my life, when I was ambitious, driven, and hardworking, I had success in the National Football League. I had success in construction. Now I'm having success as a keynote speaker. And I wanted to share these nuggets, this information, this process with individuals who might be doing great but are trying to get to the next level. You might be stuck trying to get to that next level. I wanted to be able to give them something that they could utilize and put these action and simplistic steps into their everyday lives.
Yeah, and I love that. And one of the things that you highlighted for me, and it's something that I've realized over the last couple of years, is just a part of who I am. But that hardworkingness is such an underutilized trait or underutilized action, right? To actually be hardworking. Everyone talks about working smart versus working hard, but there are just some points in your life or some points where you are that it's impossible to work hard, work smart, right? You have to work hard. And it's one of the things that's really let me, you know, build what I'm doing and kind of become who I am, is that, yes, work smart where you can, but working hard will always be the predecessor, the beginning of building that empire.
Absolutely, because most of the time in the beginning, you're going to work smart, right? But you don't have the luxury of delegating things to people, especially if you're trying to build a brand or a business, because most people, when they start a business or a brand, they don't have a lot of money. Now, of course, you do have some people that come from money or wealth, they can do that, and they're still gonna work hard, but they can be smart in delegation. But most of the entrepreneurs that I know or have worked with have started out just by themselves. So you really don't have the luxury of just only working smart and trying to delegate tasks to people, because there's nobody around the business but you. So you have to work hard. Like, I had to work hard in the beginning trying to figure out how to get my website, you know, built up, or how to, you know, make my own social media posts, or trying to find someone to help video me for, you know, little things with my iPhone because I couldn't afford it. Like, I had to work hard. Today, I am blessed to work smart because I have an amazing team around me, but I still have to work hard because if I don't work hard, the team will see that, and that's not going to make them be driven to work hard and smart. So you as the leader work hard to set the culture for the brand or for the organization to reach a high level of success. It's just imperative. It's non-negotiable.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for that. Yeah, that is 100% true. You have to showcase that and kind of be that that person who leads. But I think this is such a good segue. I want to jump into the third question because we talk about business, we talk about success, and all of those are important. But the theme of this podcast and something that I believe is the next big thing. I had a gentleman on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about it. The UN summit, now one of the biggest themes they talk about is social impact alongside business. So the question I have for you, Marcus, is do you believe this idea of social impact is an important part of business?
Oh, absolutely. Because in business, what is it driven by? People. Social interaction. How in the world can you have a business where you don't have the social etiquette to interact with people? If you don't have that, your business is doomed. So social impact, the way you speak to people, interact with people, show the proper etiquette. If someone's talking, do not interrupt them. Allow them to finish their thought and what they're saying. Opening the door for people, both male and female. Right? These are parts of social impact etiquette that if you don't have these thought processes, if you don't have this type of mindset and mentality that social impact is huge for any business, your business is doomed. Because if people don't like you, they won't do business with you. If they're not doing business with you, they're not putting money into your business. If your business doesn't have any money and it keeps getting self-funded, eventually that self-funding will run out and then you shut the doors. Just like my business shut its doors because I lost the importance of social impact in my company. Once I lost it, the entire organization picked up on my culture, my unhealthy habits. 90 days later, my doors were shut.
Yeah, there's a video that Simon Sinek does that kind of encapsulates this so well. And it's that money, people are divided on what money is, right? Money is either, you know, just the only thing that amounts to success, or people don't think money's useful. But in this video, Simon Sinek talks about it, that money is just an amplification of who you are at that moment, right? You can use money to amplify a social impact through business, or you can do the exact opposite and use it for bad. But money is that amplification, and that's why it's so important. And to me, that's why I believe money is one of the things that we should aspire to, but to do right things with.
Right. It's just like I saw Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are donating $100 million to the virus.
The coronavirus.
The coronavirus over in Asia. They just donate $100 million to the relief and to the helping people and to trying to help figure out how can they stop this virus. That's social impact at the best light, at the best use of money to amplify and help others. I just saw that today. So that's a prime example of how fiscal money can be utilized for good and is amplifying, not only trying to help with the coronavirus and help save lives, it's also at the same time building Bill Gates' legacy even more, that he is a true humanitarian that not only cares about people, he cares about helping when it's really right to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let me get this insight from you then. You know, there's these people like Simon Sinek, Bill Gates, you know, Bill Gates Foundation, all of these people that are using their money for good, obviously, and they're amplifying that through humanitarian acts. But with you, Marcus, then, I want to learn a little bit about your advice. So what would that advice be for people listening today to start building their own impact in the world?
Just start by the most simple form of interaction that you can even imagine. Just when I was a custodian, right, in 2013, nobody knew I played football before that. No one knew I had an eight-figure a year business. They looked at me like I was inhuman. They would talk to me in a way like, get out of my way, or, you know, get step to the side. Like, they had no idea about my past. But because I was a janitor and a custodian, which I was fine with, people treated me like I was inhuman. Today, anytime I'm interacting with anybody, I'm always nice. But I always go the extra mile for people that sometimes society writes off because of their job, or because they think that they are someone who is below them or beneath them because of their title or what they do for a living. And I think that's total BS. So you can start making a social impact for good just by being kind to people. No, a lot of people don't have $100 million to give like Bill Gates and Melinda do, but it doesn't cost you anything to be nice to whomever you meet. And like I tell people all the time, you have no idea who you're talking to. The person who's a custodian could be best friends with Shaquille O'Neal. You have no idea. So how about you just take the golden rule, anyone that you interact with, always be kind and treat them as equal to you, no matter what you think, and don't make any preconceived notions of anybody. Just always be kind. Being kind costs you nothing. Being arrogant and mean and nasty can cost you everything.
Yeah, what a good way to end that. Being kind can cost you nothing, but being egotistical really costs you, can cost you everything.
Wow. Everything.
That's powerful. So, Marcus, I just want to end the podcast today by saying a big thank you again for being with me here today, but also being honest and vulnerable, right? Through your past, you know, challenges and you know, failures that have amounted into lots of success, and really a person that you know, I'm enjoying having a conversation with, and I can tell that you're living and breathing this idea of being kind and building social impact. So you're setting a really good example. And I just want to say again, a big thank you. And don't forget to plug your book. I want people to know where to get that today. So would love to just hear some past next couple words from you just to really end this podcast off.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, people can get my book on my website, www.marcusmarquesogden.com. You can purchase the book on our website. You can go to Amazon and type in the Success Cycle. It'll come up. You can go to Barnes & Noble's online and in stores. Our book is now for sale in Barnes & Noble under the business section, which I found out today, which is very exciting. But in a more importantly, if you want to reach out to us for anything else, you can just go to our website. You can shoot us an email, and one of my team members will get back to you right away. And I'm going to close with this. You have to believe it before you see it. If you don't believe that you can make a change or a social positive impact, no one else will. So if you don't believe in yourself and your greatness to help others, nobody else will. And that's truly a shame, because you could be wasting a huge gift from God to help others succeed.